Welcome to the Chris Saylor Show. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Princeton's Hall of Fame women's lacrosse coach, Chris Saylor. And coach, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Jerry. It's great to be back talking to you.
So I actually went back and listened to our last podcast, which was from March 19th. It was right when all this happened. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, some of the things I took away from listening to it again, one is the idea of some of the same questions still apply. Many of the same questions still apply. And then two is just this sense that this was going to only affect the spring and that by the fall, meaning now, everything would be back to normal, not just with athletics, but everything in the country would be back to normal. And so here we are 7 months later. And, you know, there's just as many questions now as there were then. So let's start out with the idea of first, how are you doing?
Oh, you know, I'm doing well. I can't complain. I'm healthy. I'm employed. I'm able to stay connected with my team. Obviously, there's a tremendous sense of loss not being back at school and being able to work with your team and prepare for a season that you know is going to happen. But, you know, beyond that, you know, I'm doing really well. I know how much misfortune there's been in the world today. So, you know, I look at myself as very fortunate.
So the first question I asked you on the podcast in March was, what are you saying to your players? And that'll be the first question I ask you again. Like, what are you saying to your players now?
Well, to our enrolled players for 21, we're saying, hey, look, we've got to prepare as if there is a season. That's our mindset coming into the year, that we're preparing for a spring season. Do we know that there's going to be a spring season? We don't. But, you know, there's nothing to be lost by preparing as if there is. And, you know, we have to be ready if we do have the opportunity to compete in the spring to put a Princeton lacrosse team on the field and to make the most of that opportunity.
So let's talk a bit about your roster. You would have had 32 players this year in a normal year. 19 of your players chose to take the year off. 13 of your players chose to return to stay enrolled in school. Of your 19 who took off, that's six of your seniors minus Jordan Marcus who stayed enrolled. Very difficult decisions for all 32 of them to decide what to do, ranging from the seniors who wanted to to give it another go to the freshmen who, you know, haven't even had the experience of any kind yet. And then everything in between, you know, just at the very general level, what's your sense of, you know, without getting into the specifics yet, we'll talk in a few minutes about, you know, those who stayed enrolled versus those who took the year off, but just the decision in general and, you know, how much empathy you have for the players to have to be put in that situation in the first place.
Well, a lot of empathy, but also I was really grateful to Princeton that the university allowed every student, including every student athlete, to take a 1 year leave of absence if that's what they wanted to do. There was a lot of anxiety, I think, for every student heading into that and not knowing if they were going to be granted the leave, but ultimately they were. And for our team, we just really sent the message that we wanted each player to be able to make the decision that we felt was right for her. Like, we didn't think it should be a group decision. Oh, this is what the seniors are doing, or this is what the freshmen are doing, because everyone's in a different situation. We just wanted everyone to make the decision that they felt was going to be best for them. We weren't looking at what that meant for our 21 team or our 22 team or beyond. We were going to take what they decided and just roll with it, however it turned out. I mean, we certainly did try and present some of the pros and the cons, some of the uncertainties that we thought might exist around 2021. And I think ultimately, our players who took the year off, I mean, all of our players, they love their Princeton experience. They love their time on the Princeton campus. 4 years is too short a time to be on campus. And, you know, I think everyone, having missed out on the last couple of months of the season and of the Princeton spring last year, you know, really thought long and hard about what it would be like to have to miss another semester or two semesters if we were remote this year or not, if we weren't able to play this year. And so, as you said, we ended up with 19 who withdrew. And I think in those situations, they were just really valuing their time on campus and they didn't want to run into a situation where they could potentially lose a second lacrosse season. And, you know, that amounts to half of a player's career, not to be able to play for the orange and black. So I think that was a lot of the thinking behind the decision-making for our players who did take the year off. And we support both those kids as well as our players who decided it was in their best interest to enroll. And we're excited to work with them in whatever capacity we're able to this year.
So let's start with the 19 who decided to take the year off. Mm-hmm. How in touch with them are you able to stay? And what's your advice to them in terms of maximizing their year away?
Yeah, well, they're doing a pretty good job of that already. We're able to stay in much better touch with them than I thought we would be. The NCAA has been pretty generous and lenient around this. So we've been able to have them on full team Zooms. And, you know, obviously we have phone conversations with them. We can send them the same drill work and conditioning work that we send our enrolled student athletes. We just can't get anything back from them. So that's the difference there. So they know what the team's involved in, and they're able to stay connected, whether it's on calls with the team for team building or sports site calls or maybe calls with alumni, game nights, you know, Halloween, all that type of thing. So that's been really good. And my message to them is use the year and make the most of it. Many of them have internships that they're working on. A number of them have traveled. We have a group that's out in Utah, and they've been able to coach out there and play out there, which has been, I think, a really great experience for them. We have another group who's in the Princeton area, which has been nice for them as well to connect with some of their enrolled student athletes as well. And so, you know, I want them to keep their sticks in their hands and stay fit. And don't forget that we've got a competitive season the year they get back, but to make most of this time away from Princeton.
And what about, I mean, I know this is a small thing compared to all that, but what about, there's always been a very strong camaraderie among classes. Yeah. Now they're all getting split up a bit. So you have, you have six seniors who this whole time thought they were going to be class of 21 who are now class of 22. Your class of 22 is now split 4 enrolled, 5 not enrolled. So instead of the 9 of them all graduating together, 10 will graduate where, the mix of the 21s and the 22s. Is that just something that somebody like me who's very statistically driven focuses on, or is there a little more to that?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Princeton is very class focused. But, you know, I think there are students at Princeton and certainly in the Ivy League and outside of the Ivy League, it's not unusual for players to enter with one class and graduate 5 years later. I mean, that's pretty typical. It's just unusual at a place like Princeton. I know for me, my head's going to spin now. I'm usually pretty good knowing what year each of my alumni are. But now, you know, thinking of all of our seniors who were supposed to be 20s who are now, or 21s who are now going to be 22s, then that's kind of difficult. So I have an Excel sheet and I've revised the classes. So yeah, this year we'll just have one senior graduate, and next year I think it's going to be 9 and then maybe 11. I mean, it gets kind of crazy with the class sizes for a while. So definitely managing the roster will be important as we move forward.
Well, the roster size itself in 20, not in 21, but in 22, your rosters have usually hovered around 30 one way or another. It's going to be 37-ish, 38-ish for a year, probably the most you've ever dealt with.
Yeah, we expect it'll be 37 next year, which is by far the most we've ever had, you know, since we became one single varsity team in the early 90s. I mean, we've more recently been 29, 30. We were going to be 32, which is the Ivy and NCAA travel squad. And we were really trying to work up to that number. We think that's a great number for us year in and year out. So it will be a different situation next year when we actually have to post a travel squad. We haven't had to do that in, you know, a dozen years. So it will be a different situation, but, you know, it's the situation that we're in because of these circumstances. And, you know, I think the team understands that, and you know, we'll just move forward. We, even at 37, we'll probably be below the numbers that the rest of the country will be in. I think everyone's having large rosters over the next couple of years with all of the fifth years and the graduate transfers and things like that. And I'd say probably 36, 37 is probably pretty standard for Division I team. So we were always on the lower side in terms of numbers. We liked a smaller team. But yeah, we're going to have to figure that out and manage that.
So speaking of small rosters, you have 13 enrolled players, which means that if there is a 2021 season, the men's team similarly has a significant number of players taking off. One of the differences between their team and your team is the men's team, if it did come to a 2021 season, they have every position on the field covered. They don't have depth, but they have everybody covered. You do not have a goalie currently enrolled. You also have 13 players. You need to put 12 on the field at any one time. You know, obviously you're going to need to supplement your roster somehow. You know, and the number one question everybody asks me is there going to be a season in 2021? I mean, obviously nobody knows yet, but you know, where does that leave you as a coaching staff? You have 13 players enrolled. They are, some are in Princeton, some are scattered at home. They're all over the place. You know, the rules I think are pretty specific that you're not allowed to coach them right now. What are some of the things you're allowed to do? What are some of the things you're hoping that they're doing? And what do you see looking ahead to 2021?
Well, first of all, Jerry, we've already ordered you a uniform and a goalie helmet, so I hope you're ready. You know, that clearly will be our biggest challenge, whether someone on the team ends up taking that spot or whether we can hopefully recruit someone, maybe off of the club team if we're back in school. You know, depending upon what happens with fall sports, it looks like they're going to play in the spring. So that may not be such a fertile ground for us to get some more players. But, you know, we'll figure it out and we'll do the best that we can with it. But we are staying in really good touch with the enrolled kids. We have meetings every Monday morning and every Friday afternoon. We do some video work, some chalk talk work. We send them drills for them to be doing, working on their sticks, working on their, you know, their footwork. You know, and we're fortunate that we do have a cohort in the Princeton area that does have access to the Princeton fields. So they've been able to train there and do some lacrosse work.
Understand they have to do that on their own.
Yes, absolutely. They have to do that on their own without coaches. And, you know, we are hopeful that at some point this fall, we will be able to do some in-person coaching with them. We don't know whether that's going to be the case. If it is, that would be great. If not, you know, our kids are pretty good are very good actually at being motivated and working on their own. And, you know, we're just spreading that message that, hey, we've got to be ready. We don't know what will happen in the spring, and they know what kind of a schedule we have right now. So I think it was Ange Bramley, our strength and conditioning coach, is like, you guys have to be bulletproof for the spring. Like, you got to be in the best shape you've ever been in, because we're not going to have too many lines. You know, we might have one sub. So, you know, there's extra incentive. But I also think we have a lot of, if you take away our five freshmen, we have a lot of players who are enrolled for this year who haven't seen much time on the field before. And so I think for them, it's a really great opportunity, if we do play, to get some real good game experience, you know, and to get, with just 13, the coaching that they're going to be able to get is going to be really high level and just a lot of feedback. And so, you know, my hope is that those players really see it as the incredible opportunity that it is, and that they're going to do what they need to do to be ready to take advantage of it.
And you mentioned earlier the value that players place on their Princeton experience. I mean, all 32 place a serious value on their Princeton experience. And
absolutely.
It's, you know, it's tough for these 13 knowing that there might not be a season in 2021, and knowing that they may have, you know, only have half of the experience. It was a very tough choice. I mean, you know, I know how tough it was for all of them, you know, all Princeton students, let alone athletes, you know, in addition to athletes, but, you know, to be a spring athlete, it's a little different. You missed out on you know, if you're a rowing athlete, you missed out on your whole season. You know, if you're a women's lacrosse player, you played 5 games out of what is normally a 15-game regular season plus an Ivy tournament and the NCAA tournament. You missed out on a lot. So they were thrown into a difficult spot, and they do all value the experience. The one thing I would say to you is, or ask you is, there's obviously nothing in your coaching background that could possibly have prepared you for this in terms of a global pandemic that has disrupted the experience. But is there something that you've been able to draw on from, you know, all your years of doing this that has helped you through this from a personal and professional standpoint? Or you just have to wing it as you go?
Well, I mean, to be honest, it's a little bit of winging it as you go. I mean, there's a lot of anxiety around it because, I mean, you just don't know. And a lot of kids made that decision that they were going to come back. They thought we were going to be on campus, right? We thought that freshmen and juniors were going to be on campus this fall, and then sophomores and seniors in the spring, and then hopefully more. And I think, students had wrapped their heads around that. And then when we learned we were going to be all remote, they had another week or 10 days to make a different decision if they wanted to make a different decision. So, you know, I think a lot of kids had that set in their mind what they were going to do, and they continued to stay with that. And certainly, some players have plans to go to law school, or, you know, they have things that they want to do and they don't necessarily want to delay, you know, their path for another year. There's a lot of reasons. Kids have different financial means as well in terms of, you know, how that impacts them. So, like I said, I think what we tried to do, and I think I just tried to support the players in the best way I could and help answer questions. You know, we did the Zoom calls with players and families, and just try and be there for them to make the right decision for them. And now it's really the same thing. I think I guess over time I've learned that every year is a journey, and this year is no different. The journey is a little different, but we're on a journey and we don't know where it's going to take us. If we look down the future, we don't know where we're going to be next February, March, April, and May. We don't know how that's going to play out, but all we can do is focus on today and try and be the best version of ourselves we can be today. And that's what we're really emphasizing to our 21 team, which is our enrolled players, you want to try and win the day and do something today to make you a little bit better for tomorrow. And as those add up day after day after day, you know, the hope is that's going to put us in a position to be ready to compete this spring if we get the opportunity. And even if we don't, you haven't lost anything. You know, if you just sit around, we can't feel sorry for ourselves now, right? That time is past. We're athletes, we're Princeton students. We've got to attack the challenges ahead of us and make the most of every day. And that's really how we're looking at it. And that's the mindset that I have and the mindset that I'm trying to instill in my student athletes.
So let me ask you about a couple of other questions again, you're in this place where you have to wing this stuff, but let's start with, like, on a most simplistic level, scheduling. I mean, are coaches talking about scheduling for 2021 or anything?
Yeah. Well, right now, Michigan had told us pretty early last spring that they weren't going to be able to come to us. They had been told they couldn't have any flights outside of conference games. And so we knew we had lost that game. We reached out to Florida and said, you know, what we've heard from the university is you're not going to be able to take any flights. We were supposed to go down there over spring break. And now I think spring break will just be a long weekend. So that game is pretty much off the books. And we've talked to some local schools about adding Drexel, potentially St. Joe's, in case we have a more regionalized schedule. But I think as a coaching staff at Princeton, that's the next question we all have is, what are the parameters going to be around our scheduling? Are we going to be playing an Ivy-only schedule? Are we going to be playing a regional-only schedule? Will we have fewer games if we're allowed to play? But you know, with Princeton, we're still up in the air about what the spring, you know, will look like. And that's obviously going to impact all of those questions. But I think we're hopeful we'll find things out, you know, in the next number of weeks or month, get a little more clarity.
Yeah. Is there any time frame? I mean, I haven't heard one.
I don't know that there's a time frame at this point that's been announced. I thought I heard at some point that maybe President Eisgruber would give us a time frame in the next couple of weeks, let us know what his thinking was on when he would make a decision about the spring. But right now we're playing that waiting game, which I know gives anxiety to everybody. And so that's why you just have to be in that attack the day mentality, and things are going to come as they're going to come. But, you know, this has been just a real learning experience for me. And I think everyone, certainly at Princeton, our student athletes and in the country, you know, we don't know what's going to happen and what the outcome is going to be, but we just got to live each day as best we can.
And then recruiting, I mean, you know, that got completely turned upside down. Just what was that?
It did. We were fortunate that we had done a lot of recruiting of the 22s. We had had three different clinics on campus over the winter. We had worked off-campus camps over the winter. So we had a really good feel for the 22 class and who the top recruits in the class would be. And I will say the 22s, they did a fantastic job with film this year. I've never recruited so much from film in my life, and I found it to be a very, very useful tool. And we knew we were going to recruit a small class. And so that's what we've done. We had to go smaller with our 22s. And then after the 22s, we'll probably increase our numbers so that once those big classes of 9 or 11 graduate, you know, we can't be left with 24 kids. So that's the roster management that we've been looking at, you know, 4, 5, 6 years out, how do those numbers look? But we were pleased with how recruiting went for us. You know, this year we had a lot of interest, as we always do. There's a ton of very talented student athletes who want to come to Princeton and be part of our program. We're very fortunate about that. But it was different. Everything was by Zoom. And so, you know, that was a lot of time on Zooms, but good time spent getting to know the prospective student athletes.
And then lastly, because we're running a bit longer than we normally do, but there's certainly enough to talk about. Had it been a normal year, we would have gone through the weekly podcast last year, and we would have gotten to, the end of the year, and we would have had a senior day, and we would have had an opportunity to talk about your seniors, your class of 2020. Yeah. And we never really got a chance to talk about them. So, you know, it wasn't a huge group, but it was a group that was certainly making a significant contribution last year, not just in terms of on the field, but also in leadership. Yeah. And also some of the players, had made big jumps from what their careers had been to that point to the roles that they were taking last year. So you want to just talk about that group and maybe what they are doing now, or just a word about them?
Absolutely. I have to say, you know, last year, when they were making these tough decisions about whether they would withdraw from Princeton and come back so they could finish out the career in 2021, you know, and they all ended up staying in school and graduating and moving on to the next chapter of their lives. Knowing what I know now, I'm so glad they all made that decision. You know, it was clearly the right decision for them. I think about what would have happened if they were back this year, thinking about potential being remote and not having a season and everything they would have given up. But, Tess and Annie and Maddie all had their jobs wrapped up, you know, well before the season, which was great. So they've all moved on to jobs. Maddie Stasek is out with our Utah crew. She's working remotely. So she's living out in Park City with our Utah crew for a couple of months this fall. And then Katie Riley is in grad school. She was going back and forth between what she thought she wanted to do. So she's in a grad program in social work out on the island.
Is she considering playing?
Say again?
She has another year of eligibility. Is she?
She does. And no, she said that, you know, she's a Princeton Tiger and she feels like she couldn't see herself playing for another team. And so she's just really focusing on her grad work this year. And she's not intending to play at this point. But it was great. We got to have a senior day on Zoom, and you know, do the video, and they each got to share their senior speeches with the team, and they got their flowers sent to their homes. And so, you know, we really, like I'm saying a lot, we try to make the best of it. But I miss those guys. I mean, you know, I can't imagine what it's like for a senior to end her career in the way that theirs ended so abruptly, and without that closure that we had on campus. But that group meant so much to our team. They really created an incredible family atmosphere among the players, and you know, their impact will be felt long after their graduation.
Well, I mean, like I said, we ran a bit long here, but we had a lot to cover. I'm glad you were able to take some time to have this conversation. And, you know, I know this has not been an easy time for anybody involved. It hasn't been an easy time for our coaches across all of our sports. I think it's hit the spring harder than anybody else because of the way it abruptly ended last year. You know, I know everybody appreciates the guidance and the steady leadership that's come from our coaching staff and from the administration. But, you know, again, just feel really bad for all the people who've been put in the middle of this, and feel bad for you and your coaches, because just as much as anybody else, you had it yanked away from you, and this is what you guys do. And
when you're a coach, you want to be out on the field. I mean, it's the favorite part of the day, no question.
So we will, when we have more to talk about, when we know some more stuff, we'll get back together and do another podcast, you know, looking ahead to the decisions that are going to come down the road about what the spring of 2021 will look like. I mean, in many ways, you know, bringing a team of 13 and trying to add some people to that to fill out a bit of a roster would be a unique challenge. But like you said, it's an opportunity and also be a fun challenge. So we'll see what we'll see what's coming in the spring. So Coach Saylor, thanks for being here today. And like I said, we'll be back again.
Thanks, Jerry. Stay healthy.
For Princeton women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor, Jerry Price, thank you for being with us on the Chris Saylor Show. And thank you for your continued support of Princeton women's lacrosse.